Right. Yesterday we left off at the what seems to be a stira in the Mishnah. Right. The Mishnah indicates that when it comes to chaser hanizak, it comes to implies when it comes to keren the chaser hanizak, right, that part of the Mishnah seems to indicate that you pay nezek shalem. Another part of the Mishnah seems to indicate you pay chasi nezek. That would one side would be according to Rabbi Tarfon, and one side would be according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara, what we got up to at the end of Tetzvav and Mitzvot, that the Gemara says Ein Hachanami, that the Mishnah really has two Tanoim as two authors, that the ratio is the Rabbanon, right? That who believes that when it comes to Chaser Nizak, Karen still pays Chaser Nizak, and the Seifa is Rabbi Tarfon, where we say that in the Chaser Nizak, that Karen pays Nezek Shalem. That's the Gemara left it now. Rabbi, let's a couple words on Tetzvav and Mitzvot. Karen, right? Tom pays Chaser Nizak, correct? Rabbi Lazar Mishmei the Rab Omar. Kula Rabbi Tarfon. The whole Mishnah can be authored by Rabbi Tarfon. Reisha bechaserim yuchedet lepeirot echad mehen. The reisha, the case in the reisha is a case where one of them is entitled to put his fruits in there. Ulazer lezer leshvarim. When it comes to oxen, then they both have permission to be there. To the gabe shein have you lechaser hanizak. Again, because of Shane, there it's Chaser Nizak, because he's the only one who has permission to put his fruits there. You got to be Karen, I'm a Rishut Rabim. But for Karen, it's classified as Rishut Rabim. So you can have a possibility of being Chayiv in both Shane and in Karen. Normally, when you say that it's Shane, that means it has to be Chaser Nizak. If it's Chaser Nizak, then that's Karen be Chaser Nizak. If that's the case, why is it saying Chasi Nezek for Tom? Because it's, no, because we're talking about a case where they both have permission to be there for the Shvarim. If that's the case, it makes them to the equivalent of Rishut Rabim for Karen. And therefore, even Rabbi Tarfon is going to agree that there you pay Chatzi Nezek. Again, Tosfos over here amends the Gemara to read. He changes the Girsa to read that B'chazim Yuchedet Peirot Le'echad Mehem Belo Lezeh Shvarim. That neither of them has permission to have the oxen there. Because if you do have permission to have your ox there, then it's a questionable, just because the other guy has permission to have his fruit there, why are you not permitted? Shein is a normal outcome in Rishut Rabim. Right? The point is, when you're in Rishut Rabim, why are you not chayav b'shein regel? Because that's to be expected. Right? If someone has permission to have their shor in that area, it's to be expected that shvarim wander a bit, they walk over things. But here, if you both have permission to be there with your oxen, then maybe it shouldn't be a problem with the fruits either. So Tosfos amends the gears and says, lo lezeh ve lo lezeh l'shvarim, just like you did in the previous daf. Remember, when the two daf ago, Tosfos did the same thing when we were discussing Reisha Rabbanan and Sefer Rabbi Tarfon, and then we said, Kula Rabbi Tarfon. Tosfos also changed the gears there to read, lo lezeh ve lo lezeh l'shvarim. Right, Amar Korana, Amrei to the Shmaita, Tamei to Rav Zvid min Dar Do. I said over this, Amar for Rav Zvid min Dar. Amar Li, Mi Masi Mukum La Kuluka Rabbi Tarfon. Can you really set up our whole Mishnah, our Mishnah, like Rabbi Tarfon? Why? Haktoni Hashem Mu'edet Le'cholet Ro'uila. Ro'uila in Shein Ro'ilalo. Our Mishnah indicates that what are one of the Mu'adim? One of the Mu'adim is a Shein. And what is a Shein? Shein is Mu'ad, to eat things that are appropriate for it. But things that are not appropriate, meaning that what's appropriate? Peros, Yirakot, food, right? In Ro'ila are things like Ksut Kleilim, right? Clothes and utensils. That's not what it normally eats. Vi Rabbi Tarfon, Amar Mishuna Karen Bechatzer Anizak Nezek Shalem Mishalem. Right, then how could that be? Because the indication or the implication is that it's only Mu'ad when it's Ra'oila. When it ain't a Ra'oila, what would it be classified as? It'd be classified as Karen. Right, because that's Mishunet, doing something that's out of the ordinary. If it's out of the ordinary, it becomes Karen. Now, if it's Karen, and we're talking about before, right, this we were talking about Shein. Shein only takes place with Chatzer Anizak. Right, now we're implying that if it's Enu Ra'uila in the Chaser Nizak, right, that would not be a Mu'ad, that would be a Tam that pays Chatzi Nezek. And we know that Rabbi Tarfon believes that when you're a Tam in the Chaser Nizak, you pay Nezek Shalem. So how could Rabbi Tarfon be the author of our Mishnah? Right, Eve Rabbi Tarfon, I'm a Shunah Kerem Bechadzi Nizak, Nezek Shalem Shalem. El Eli Olam, Rabbanahi. No, it's got to be Rabbanan. Vechatsure Mechzura. The Olam is the Rabbanon, and now we have to move, we're going to amend the Mishnah, and this amendation is going to get bigger and bigger until we finish up with the two dots here. Right, V'achi Tani. Right, well, that's basically, it's going to work basically. It's going to amend it enough so that it reads easily. Kamisha Tamim Hein, that number one, there are five Tamim. Vim Hu Adu, Chamishatan Mu'adin. So now, instead of saying before, the way we read the Mishnah was there's five Tamim, and then we listed out all the Toldot of Karen, and then we said Chamisha Mu'adim, and we listed off the five Mu'adim. Now the Gemara changes it. It says, no, there's Chamisha Tamim, and that implies Chamishatan Mu'adim, that they will become Mu'ad. Period. That's it. That's the end of that section of the Mishnah. Now, B'Shein V'Regel, Mu'adim Mitchilatan. Right, that Shein V'Regel are Mu'ad from the beginning, meaning from they don't have this period of time. Ve'echana adatam, where do they become a mu'ad? Is the chaser anizak. Right, in the chaser anizak. So then, you avoid the problems that we had before, which is that the implications that the first half of the Mishnah is the Rabbanon, because of Shein Ve'egel, right, being mu'adin, implying that Karen would not be mu'ad in that instance, which would say that you have tam, bechaser anizak. Now, since we separated the first half of the Mishnah from the second half of the Mishnah, we're no longer comparing mu'ad to tam in the area where we're talking about Shein V'Regel. We did mu'ad and tam up front, those are five and five. And then, next, move on to a list of things. Right? Shein V'Regel is mu'ad in mitzkulatan, and then, where does that mu'ad happen? And chaser anizak. So, matkiz la'rabino, akkani la'kaman. What are you going to do? The next Mishnah, right, our Mishnayot that are coming up in the second paragraph, say, shor mazik b'shut anizak, ketzat. Assure that there's damage in the Rishut HaNizak, Ketzat. How does that take place? Now, that implies, that Mishnah implies, that we already know a din called Shura Mazik B'Chatzer HaNizak. The fact that that Mishnah already is asking Ketzat, how does it happen, implies that we already knew that something like that was Chayav, or somehow Chayav and Nezek. Now, Iyamar Bishloma Ariba, if you say that our Mishnah over here is talking about such an instance, Mishum HaChik Tani Ketzat. Therefore, the Mishnah further on will ask Ketzat, how does that actually take place? Right? But, if you saw our Mishnah saying he's dealing with Karen, b'chaser anizak, my Ketzat. Then what is the Ketzat, what is it referencing, meaning that Ketzat implies we said something, and now we want to expound on what we said, or we want to explain how that happened. So now, if you don't have that statement ever, how can you just start Ketzat? And then it's like starting in the middle of a sentence, middle of a Mishnah. El Amar Avina, Chatsuri Mechzer. Right? Now we're missing more words. What is this? Chachachik Tani. Chamishatamim Heim, Bimuadu, Chamishatan, Muadin. Right? Again, same thing. Five times, and then if they became, if they did it three times, they will become Muadin. B'Shein V'Regel, Muadin, Mitzilchilatan. That Shein V'Regel are Muad from the beginning. B'Zehu, Shor HaMu'ad. That is a class, that is called Shor Mu'ad. Now, Shor HaMazik B'Shut HaNizak, when it comes to the Shor who does damage in the Chaser HaNizak, where it's a Tam doing damage in Chaser HaNizak, Machloket Rabbi Tarfon V'Rabbanos. That's a Machloket between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbanos. The Kamsa Mishnah is now explicitly saying that it's a Machloket between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbanos. V'yesh Mu'adim Acherim. And beyond that, we have other Mu'adim, right? Which are Kiyotze Be'elu. That are similar to these. What are those? Hazeev. Right, the wolf, the Ari, the lion, the dog, and the bear, the Bartholus, right, and we'll see today what it is. I'll loosely translate it as a weasel, the namer, leopard, the nachash, and the snake. Tanya Nami Hochi. So Gemara says, we have a braisa that supports this emendation of the Mishnah. First of all, the first set piece of the Mishnah is there are five types of tam. And those five types of tam can convert or become mu'adim if they do it three times and they're warned. B'shein v'regel mu'adim mitchilatan. We have a separate category called shein v'regel that starts as a mu'ad. There's no tam by shein v'regel. B'zehu shor mu'ad. Now we ended up, that's shor mu'ad. We're done with the classification of shor mu'ad. Now, b'shor mazik b'shut anizak machlokes rabbi tarfon rabbono. When you're talking about a tam that does damage in the property of the nizak, that is machlokes rabbi tarfon v'rabono, as we know. Right, that Rabbi Tarfon believes you pay Nezek Shalem, and the Rabbanim believe you pay Chatzi Nezek like Tam Bishut Rabbin. V'yish Mu'adim Acherim Kiyotze Be'elu. Right, there are other Mu'adim that are similar to this, and that's Vazev, Vari, Adov, Anamer, Abardeles, and Nachash. That the price that supports our emendation of the Mishnah to include two things. One is that we close out the section of Mu'adim before we get to Shein. That way you don't have this implication from Shein that implies by Karen there's some din. Number two is we lock Shein down and make it its own category. Then three is we start a new category called Karen for Shut HaNizak. And there we say it's Machlokes Rabbi Tarfon Rabbanon explicitly. And then the last section of the Mishnah we say is an additional number of Mu'adim that we add on. Now the Gemara says, Ikud Derami La Mirma. Some people, they presented it as a question, not as an emendation, as a, the way we did, which is a Surim Extra, the Gemara went through, but rather that was a Sira. None, we have a Chamisha Tamim V'Chasha Mu'adim V'Tulaka. are there no more? Isn't there an eternal stira in our Mishnah that says that there are five tamim and five muadim, or even the Braisa, which says five tamim, five muadim? Right, the whole end of our Mishnah, the end of the Braisa, enumerates a whole bunch more muadim. Umushani amar ravina kasuri mefsura. Our Mishnah is missing words, and we have to amend it. V'hafik tani. Chamisha tamimim, vim huadu, chamisha tan muadim. Again, locks out the five muadim and tamim together. Shame regal muadim itchiladan, v'zehu shor muad. Shame regal or muad from the beginning, that is shor muad. V'shor mazik v'shu the nizak makokot rabbi tarfon rabbanon. Again, the Karen, Tam, v'shu the nizak makokot rabbi tarfon rabbanon. V'yesh muadim achirim k'yot zibelo. And that this emendation helps this question, which is that there are additional muadim beyond the five that we had before. And what are those? So by amending, that's why we have to amend the last part of the Mishnah to say, yes, that there are old muadim, because we just said there are only five muadim. Then the Mishnah comes and says, wait, similar to those five in the beginning, which are toldot of Karen, we have additional animals that have a din of muadim mi chilatan. Right, so now, the Gemara continues. We enumerate in the Mishnah toldot of Karen. So those in the Karen that we mentioned, those five that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Goldi Gach, right, which is not to gore, right, Goldi Gof is to, with its body, crush something with its body. Goldi Shuch, to bite, again, not to eat, but to bite in a way that is damaging, doing to damage. Goldi Revots, Revots, right, to sit on, right, to lay on, to somehow crush. Goldi Oth, and to kick, right, to kick out. So Amar Rabba Lazar. Now the Mishnah is going to, the Gemara is going to say, Golder Votes. What it means to lay down or sit down on top of a item. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Lo Shanu Ela Pachim Gidolim. The fact that it sat down on larger vessels, that is Mishunet. About Pachim Ktanim or Chilum. And in general, Shwer would be more than happy to lay down on smaller utensils. Smaller items, he would look at that as a mattress, and he lay down or sit down on top of that. Right, rather than the big guys. So, lema mitzahile. Let's have a support for this position of Rabbi Lazar. Habeima mu'edet alech kidarka ulishaber ulma'echet adam v'habeima v'etakidim. So it said, a behema is mu'ad to go, meaning mu'ad mitzchilat, do what? That's the normal way for it to go walk. Alech kidarka, to walk in its normal way, ulishaber, breaking things while it's walking, that's regel. Ulma'echet adam v'habeima v'etakidim. It's a crush. Right, somehow crush a person, a animal, and kelim. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, how are we going to explain this? We know that in general, that it's not the derech of an ox to hurt a person or another behemoth. That's why you have what's called keren tam. Right? Keren tam, or some sort of damage they do to another animal to a person, is always a tam. So how can this braisa suggest that it's regel, or normal, for an animal to hurt another in person or another animal or kelim? So what do you have to say? You have to say, the Gemara is now suggesting that there's a difference between ktanim and gdolim. Also the by people and behemoth. When it comes to a small animal or a small person, a baby, right, or a small kelim, then it's called derech. The animal, the ox, is now natural ways to damage these items. When there are large items, such as, you know, kelim, gdolim, or people, a grown, right, a full-grown person, or a large behemoth, that's not the normal way, and that would be classified under keren. Where it says, well, no. Dilwa minatat. Who says that you have to explain it this way, that it's kelim gdolim and kelim ktanim, or big people, you know, adam gadol and adam katan, or behemah gdola, behemah ktana? That's not the way you have to explain it. We can all explain it by dimla min atad. That not when we talk about revisa here, we're not talking about where it sits down on the item, but rather when it bumps, right, it's kelim, right, that it rubs itself up against items. That is the natural way. When an ox is walking, that it will crush things that are between it and a wall. They'll crush items that it sees on the side. And that's a natural way of walking. So how do you know? Maybe that's how we can explain this braisa. This braisa that says that it's normal for animals to damage other animals, kelim and to people, is in a case where there's a person or kelim that are found between them and some sort of wall. And therefore the ox will naturally push towards the wall and crush those items between them and the wall. If that's the case, you don't have any proof, right, that there's a differentiation between gdolim and ktanim. So, Ikad Amrei, Amr Abelazar, Lo Tema Pachim Dolim Hudalab Orche. This way, the Ikad Amrei says that Abelazar basically agrees to our conclusion of the previous statement. That don't say that when is it considered normal, only when it's what? Don't say that when it's kind of Pachim Dolim Hudalab Orche, Abel Pachim Dolim Orche. Don't say just when it's big utensils, that's Karen, that's Mishunah. Even when it's small utensils, it's not Orche. That's also Karen. We have that brisa that says explicitly that's considered normal when it's walking along to crush these items. That's not a case of roveis that is sitting down. That brisa is talking about a case of tzad, and therefore, right, what will be classified as shein regel is any damage it does, right, while it's walking, even though these are big utensils or larger people in bema, big or right, small will be irrelevant. Some people have set it up as a shiva. None. Our mission says Logar votes. Vatanya, and then they bring this brisa, which is Lemeichat Adam Yat Bimavit Kalim. Amar Lo, the Lokasha comes Pachim Gdolim, comes Pachim Kanim. Here, he solves the theory between the brisa and the Mishnah, because with Pachim Gdolim, Pachim Kanim. Truthfully, he could also solve the theory with Duma Minasa, which the Gemara doesn't bring. It would be almost like a fourth Ikadamrin. The Gemara doesn't bring the possibility that if you set it up as a Sira to the Mishnah Brisa, so you could either answer up Pachim Gdolim, Pachim Kanim, or you can answer Minasad. That the Gemara doesn't bring that additional item. Right now, the Gemara is going to discuss the animals that we spoke about in the Mishnah. Azev, Ari, all the animals in the Mishnah are basically defined, easily defined. We know Azev is a wolf, right? Ari is a lion. And then we had the doe, which is a bear, and the mare is a leopard. Nachash is a snake. Now, Bartholus, the Gemara is unclear what a Bartholus is. So that's what we're asking now. My Bartholus. Amar Yehuda, Nifriza. Somebody says, my Nifriza, exactly. My Nifriza. Amar Yosef, Apa. Now, to be honest, what's this apa? Apa is unclear. Right, so there are many machokas have shown them what this apa is. There people indicate that it's a weasel, which is what I translated when I read the Mishnah. It's in the family or type of a weasel. There are others that define it in somewhere in the leopard family, cheetah, hyena, right? Those animals, those types of animals. There are others that say it's a type of snake, which it doesn't fit, I think, as well because it doesn't really flow with the listing necessarily. And Bartholus we see brought up in the Gemara other places doesn't sound like it's a snake. But either way, those are the different options for what this Bartholus is. I will continue to translate it just as a weasel because that's just the, I think, the most common interpretation. Right. Rabbi Meir Omer, Af Hatzavua. So Rabbi Meir adds, in addition to the list of the animals in our Mishnah, right, he says that it means Af Hatzavua. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Af Hanachash, right? Also the Nachash. The Amar Rav Yosef, Tzavua Zu Apa. And Rav Yosef says for us that a Tzavua, what is the definition of a Tzavua? That is an Apa. So that's the case. And Rabbi Meir is adding in to our Mishnah, adding an additional animal to our Mishnah called a Tzavua. And the Tzavua is synonymous with Apa. That means that the Bartholus can't be an Apa. So how can you call the Bartholus an Apa if Rabbi Meir is going to add an additional animal, it's also called an Apa? That's not a problem. One's a male tzvua and one is a nikeva, right? Tzvua and nikeva. What this? Let's see in a second. This tzvua, what is the? What happens to it? This tzvua nikeva, which would be the Bartholus, the female tzvua would be what the Bartholus that's mentioned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir's addition to the Mishnah will be the tzvua zakar, the male tzvua. Why does he have to add in the male tzvua? It's because of the brisas that's about to come up. The Bryce has explained to us that a male tzavua does not stay a tzavua his whole life. He actually changed. He metamorphosed into a different animal. And because of that, you thought maybe it wasn't the mu'ad b'tchilata. What is that? The Tanya. Tzavua zachar, lachar shiva shanim, naseh atalef. And it becomes an atalef, which is a bat. Right? This, whatever this tzavua is, turns into a bat after 7 years. Atalef, lachar shiva shanim, naseh arpad. This Atalef is bat metamorphosed in 7 years into an arpad, which I think is a different type of bat. I don't know exactly. It seems like a species of bat. Arpad, lachar shiva shanim, nase kimush. Right, a arpad after 7 years becomes a kimush, which seems to be some sort of thorn thing. Some sort of thorn, pointy, sharp thing. Kimush, lachar shiva shanim, nase chuach. Right, it becomes another type of thorn, right? Again, another different, but that smaller thorn. Chuach, lachar shiva shanim, nase shade. And this kuach, after 7 years, becomes a shade, right, a demon. Alright, so that's the progression, and therefore, okay, leaving that right to the side, right, the answer to the Gemara is that this Bartholus is an apple, this apple is a tavua, but it's a tavua nikeva. Because the tavua nikeva stays the same her whole life, and therefore, that's what our Mishnah was discussing. When Meir comes to add the tavua zachar, which has this interesting shelet, since there's a chain of metamorphosis that every 7 years changes into a different animal which ends up as a sheep, people thought maybe it's not Muad Mitzchila. So Rav Meir comes to tell you, no, even the Tzavua Zachar, which changes through these patterns, is also Muad Mitzchila.
According to Rav Meir, someone injures themselves with your thorn. I assume
that when it changes form, that it regains its status of town. Alright, so now, Shidro Shel Adam, Lachar Sheva Shanim, Nasin Nachash. So the spine of a person, after 7 years, this is not while they're alive, after they pass away, their spine morphs into a Nachash, a snake. Vahani Mile, that's only the Lokara Bemodim. If he didn't bow down, in Moses. Right, so what does that have to do with it? It's also mentioned in the next time, but from the Gemara in Brachos. Right, the Gemara in Brachos, when it says, when a person bows down, how does he bow down? Right, it's somebody the Kroah, Bechi Zakif, when he stands up, Zakif Kekhibya. He stands up, he slides his way up like a snake. Right, so the way one bows down, right, has a form, or is it form, is the form of how he rises from the bowing down is like a snake. And so therefore the Midah Keneged Midah is someone who did not bow down by Modim, right, will be like a Nachash, will turn into a Nachash, the sign will turn into a Nachash. Why the Nachash? Right, that the Rosh just says it's a Gnai. The despicable type of animal, the lowly of the animals, the snake, which Hashem punishing in it. I thought maybe even a possibility of a concept of Kafui Tov. Right here, and Modim is saying thank you to a Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the Nisim, all the things that he gives us each and every day. That's what the Tefillah Modim is. So the person who bows down in Modim gives Hoda'ah Hashem very properly. They won't turn to Nachash. The Nachash was somebody who was not happy with what they had. Right? He was jealous. He tried to, right, kill Chava. He was trying to cause problems with Adam and Chava. Someone was wanting something beyond what they had. They were not thankful for what they had. They wanted beyond their means, beyond what Hashem entitled them to. And therefore they were, did not give proper hakaras atot. The mida keneged mida of the nachash, to the one who doesn't bow down, right, is the one who doesn't say modim properly, turns into nachash. Alright. Now, Amar Mar, Rabbi Meir Mer ak tavua, Rabbi Lazar Mer ak nachash. The brace that we brought before, the Rabbi Meir says, I add on to the list. What do I add on to the list? I add on to the list tavua. And Rabbi Lazar says, I add on to the list nachash. Now we have a problem, because now Rabbi Lazar and our Mishnah, it's a steerer between this brace and Rabbi Lazar and our Mishnah. Why? Because Rabbi Lazar and our Mishnah said that the other animals can be domesticated, right? But the Nachash is never domesticated. But in this brace, the way Rabbi Lazar seems to indicate it, the Afa Nachash implies that all the animals until this point, he agrees, are Mu'adim Mitzchilatan. V'anansnan, our Mishnah says, Rabbi Lazar Omer, B'zmanshein B'nei Tarbut in a Mu'adim. When they're domesticated, they are not Mu'adim. But Nachash Mu'ad Yolam. And Nachash is always Mu'ad. So the Gemara says, Nei, Nachash. So instead, change the immense voice, not to read Rabbi Lazar Omer Af Nachash, but rather read Rabbi Lazar Omer Nachash. Just a independent statement that Nachash is Mu'ad, because that's all Rabbi Lazar believes is Mu'ad. The others can be domesticated, right? Whereas the Nachash can never be domesticated. Alright, Amar Shmuel, Arib Rishut HaRabim, so a lion that is sauntering through the Rishut HaRabim, the Ras V'Akal Fatur. If he goes ahead and bites the animal, meaning that he doesn't kill the animal, but eats it, rips it apart and eats it while it's still alive, patur, because that's the normal way that a lion eats. So he's a tam for that. Taraf v'akal chayav. If he kills the animal first and then eats it, that is considered mishuna, and he'll be a keren. So what is it? The din of shein and regel in Rishut HaRabim is patur. So in the first case where it's the normal way for him to eat, he's going to be patur in Rishut HaRabim. In the second case where it's a case that's not the normal way for him to eat, taraf v'akal, right, then he will be Karen. Karen Rishut HaRabim is Chayav. So now, Gemara says, Zaras v'chal patur came into Orchei the Midrash. That's no way from deep. Habalek Moshe akla peros v'yarkot. It's like eating fruits and vegetables. For the lion, eating, biting off a piece of a live animal, that's the same thing. Right? Zavad l'shein Rishut HaRabim u'patur. Taraf lav Orcheihu. Right? So that Gemara says that the taraf is not the normal way for the lion to eat. It's not the normal way. That'll be classified as Karen. That's all assuming that it's normal for lions to be walking down the Rishut HaRabim, right?
Apparently people get lions as
pets. Exactly, right. Remember, it implies the trefa labor table. So you're suggesting that for a lion to kill and then eat its prey after it's killed, that is not normal. Active. Yeah, the Nachum says, Ayeh Toreif, right? Ayeh Toreif, di gorotav. And so that the a lion kills to bring for its cubs. But here, to kill, it uses the term toresh. Threat means to kill its prey, right? And then it brings it. And when it says, yeah, that's no problem. Bishvil go to cubs. You're right. For its cubs, it kills the prey and brings it back. But when it's for itself, it eats it, you know, meaning that it pounces on the prey and eats it as it's before it's dead. Umechanek libootav. Then it says in Pasuk Kedinyan that it chokes, right, or strangles for it, the misses, right, the lioness. So again, here you see the lion killing in order to eat. And Mar says it's not a problem. Shul libootav. Again, for the lioness, it'll do that, not for itself. It says v'yimalei teref churav. It says it fills its pit with teref, with the animals that are killed. Mar says, well, that's okay. Why? Because that's bishvil churav. To store in a pit, it will kill the animal, kill the prey. If it's going to eat on the spot, then it won't kill it, it'll eat it, you know, live. Ume'onotav, right, trefa. And it sticks into its den, right, it puts in the trefa. So it says again, bishvil me'onotav, when it comes to putting, storing in its den, then it will kill. So again, for storage later, to put it away, to bring for its kids or its wife, then it does trefa. But for itself, it's only normal to be doreis v'ochel and not toreis. V'atanyo. We have a bright that says, V'chen chayet sh'nichnasa d'chater ha'nizak, tarfa, b'heima v'achla, a animal, chaya here being a wild animal, right, not a non-domesticated animal, which include a lion, and in that case, that goes into the chater ha'nizak, tarfa b'heima v'achla, killed an animal and eats it, v'achla basar and ate the meat, mishalem nezek shalem, pays full damage for this. What does that sound? What does that mean? That means, why would you pay full damage in the chater nizak? Only if it's shame. Right? If it's shame, you pay full damage in the chater nizak. That means that's the normal way to act. If it's keren, then it would be chati nezek. At least going to the Rabbanon, which we're assuming here, it would be chati nezek. So here it's saying that it was tarfa behima, killed an animal and ate it, and even in Ari is included in this chaya here, and nevertheless it calls it normal, calls it shame. Right, it says that no, he killed it to keep it, to store it for later. Right, it says, oh, what's funny. It says straight out that he ate the animal. What do you mean storing it? It says, no, that it changed his mind to eat it. And now, so you're going to ask me the question, what do you mean? How do you know they first killed it to store, and then he decides to eat it afterwards? I mean, who's reading the mind of this, right, of this lion here? It says, oh, the Shmuel, not me, right? And also, Shmuel, Dilmahochi, right? Maybe, right, if you want to suggest this, exactly, for the case of Shmuel, you could also answer, when Ari Bershutarim Teres Rachal says maybe, right, you could change all the mind. All those cases where he brought proof against him, you could say he changed his mind. So Amar Nach Meitach, this is Tadim Tani. That brisa that we just quoted from, we can split it in half. Why? Chetarfa Laniach or Darts of Achla. Those are both normal. Meaning that if it kills the store, or it darts up, pounces on it to eat it, then it's a shalei, and that's a shalei, because those are both shame, those are the regular ways for a lion to act. So he divided up the akhla from the tarfa. Right? So Ravina Mar, Kiyamar Shmuel, Ba'are Tarbut. Right? Shmuel's statement is about a domesticated lion. Ba'aliba de Rabbi Lazar. According to Rabbi Lazar, the Lamar Lavarchet, that's not the normal way. Meaning that Shmuel's statement is made in with a domesticated lion, and by domesticated lion, that's, so the trope is not the normal way to act. Iyachi. Akiru Darzunami, if that's the case, then a domesticated animal, then even Doreis should be classified as Mishunet. Right, the Darzunami, the Chayim, Ella, the Ravina, Lava Shmuel is marked. It's clear that Ravina's statement was not on Shmuel. When Ravina came and qualified this statement about Ari Tarbut, that can't be about Shmuel. Ella Misnitsa, that's going on a Braisa. Kitani Masnitsa Bari Tarbut. That when he came, we just said this Braisa over here, we're talking about a domesticated lion. Right, so that it's not its normal way, and that explains the brayta before why when it says that it was doreis, that it was doreis, right? And it's not. It says the ochi chatzi nezek by lishlume. And then why is he paying full nezek if it's an areis abud, a domesticated animal? Then it's tam bechazara nizak. Tam bechazara nizak according to rabbanan is chatzi nezek. And if it's a domesticated lion, this is not the normal way for it to act. So it says the ayi. It was a case that he already did it three times, and now he's a muad. So I say, Yochi, my high the Kanila Gabe, told that the Shane. Then why is it listed as one of the categories that told the Shane? Right, go to there and by the midnight. You should have been included in the list that were told those Karen. So that's Kashu, you can't explain. So this statement of Ravina, we can't place it on Shmuel, we can't place it on the price, so leave it as a Kashu, so that's not Ravina's statement. We're not clear where he applied his statement.
Well, you have to mention it. It's a regular case of a show.
Oh, just to mention that there's a concept called Ari Tarbut, according to Rabbi Lazar. That's what Ravina is saying, that they hold like this, Rabbi Lazar, that there's such a thing as a domesticated lion. Okay? Now this Mishnah, this next Mishnah is something we've seen before. We quoted it in our Gemara yesterday. Ma ben tam le mu'ad. What's the difference between a tam and a mu'ad? Shetam meshalem chatzi nezek migufo. Right, a tam pays half nezek from his body, right, only from the body of the mazik. U'mu'ad meshalem nezek shalem min aliyah. Means that mu'ad pays full nezek, even from the estate, meaning even from the person's net worth. My aliyah. How do you explain this word aliyah? Some Rabbi Lazar bit meulesh nechazav. You have to pay from the best of his items, right? Mehmeinu Omer, right? Vayishkav chitziyahu im avutav. Vayikavrua b'maaleh kivrei Beit David. So they buried chitziyahu. When they buried them, they put him into the maaleh kivrei Beit David. But say now, we say the best of kivrei Beit David. V'amar Rabbi Lazar b'maaleh itzel meulim shebimishpacha. What does it mean, maaleh? It means next to the highest ranking or the best of that family. Who are the best of the family of Beit David, B'nai David? My name, David b'Shlomo. That he buried Chizkiyahu right up against David and Shlomo. So where it says, "Vayigrua v'gruotav asher karlo v'ir David," right? "Vayishkaveyu v'mishkav asher malei or milei tamim v'uznin." And so there they buried him. This is also in the Divrei Yamim. Not about this is not about Chizkiyahu, but rather about Asa. When they buried Asa, it says when they put him into the cave or they buried him in the kibrot of ir David that they had poured into the walls, which they found today. If you go down to Ir David, they have they found some of those kuchim that were dug into the walls where they buried kings. So over there it says Hashem Yilev Zamim Vznim Uznim. It was full of spices and znim. They don't know what the znim is. My Zamim Uznim. What is the spices and znim? So Rabbi Lazar my Zine Zine. Znim means different types of spices. So multiple types of perfumes or spices that were buried with him. That is an adjective. It's a type of b'samim. B'samim znim, which is something that brings to, right, this type of perfume or smell that brings one to do illicit things. Now the Gemara continues. Ki karu shucha l'lachteni upachim tamnu l'ragli. So Yirmiyahu describes that the people were speaking libel about him, and that what they do, ki karu shucha l'lachteni, they dug pits to trap me, upachim tamnu l'raglai, and they took out utensils for me to trip over. What was this that they were trying to do to him? This was they were speaking libels about Yirmiyahu, and what did they say? Shechashdua mizonah, that they suspected of him of having a relationship with the zonah. Rav Shmuel and Rav Eimer shechashdua meishidish, that they questioned his legitimacy because they spread a rumor. Really liable that he had had a relationship with an Eshedish. Bishlam alaman damar shchashdua mizonah. Right? According to what it says, it's a zonah, hainu dechzib. Then we can explain the word shucha here, because the word shucha is also used in Mishlei. Ki shucha muka zonah. Describe a zonah. Right? The harlot is described as a deep pit. So over here, the word used to the term shucha by Yirmiyahu would be, right, in keeping with the way it's used in Mishlei. What is this pit that we're talking about? Where it says, very nice line, we've discussed this before, actually in Gizdin, we had this concept, Atuei Shadish, Minafka Michwal Zonah, just because you're an Eshadish, does not make you not a Zonah. Meaning that Zonah, Eshadish is Zonah plus. Doesn't make you just Eshadish. It makes you Zonah plus. So it could also be, you know, Kishukha, can also reference Zonah here. So Mar says, Zishlam Olaman Damar Shukhashdu Meshadish, Hainu Dichtiv. That explains in Yirmiyahu, it says, Vatash, Shem Yadatis, Kolatam, Alai, the Mubbet. That you know all their workings or have plans to kill me. Why are they planning to kill him? Because they suspected him, or they spread libel, accused him, right, of having a relationship with Eshadish, which is punishable by death. Olaman Damar Shukhashdu Meshadish, my Mubbet, right? Why, what's the Mubbet? Why should he be killed over here? And he shouldn't be killed because it's just a zonah. It's a pnuyah. A zonah could be a pnuyah. You're not chayv nisa for that. Gemara says it's shlichu lebeer tzitz. No, that's the instance where the Gemara explains that he was thrown into a pit of lime or something that was trapped. Boats when Yirmiyahu had predicted that the shlichim would be destroyed and that the people couldn't go up. Some of the king's henchmen didn't like it and they threw Yirmiyahu into a pit of tzitz in order to kill him. So that's what it means that they planned or they were trying to kill me. That you know that they're planning to kill me. Darash Rava, my nechtiv, you mukshalim lepanecha v'eita pecha. That when Yirmiyahu says about these people, that they should trip up, right, before you, v'eita pecha, in the time that you are angry. Atzebahem, v'eita pecha atzebahem, I'm sorry, at the time you're angry, do to them. Yirmiyahu, we say, Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, afilu b'sha'a shosim tzedakah, hichshilim. even when they're doing good deeds like tzedakah, trip them up. That their tzedakah should reach people that are inappropriate. That they should not, right, be able to require or get tzedakah. Right, that that person should not be able to get the tzedakah if it goes to the inappropriate person. All right, stop over here.